3, Mustang Alpha 16.6, Dora de...
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Thanks also to our friends at Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB during their championship meet. We appreciate their support. So again, thanks to the folks down at Gulfstream. Don't forget today here at the Clubhouse Racebook, we'd love to have you swing on by and enjoy racing, of course, but football action as well as the NFL season swings into essentially the final stretch. You can come down and watch all the games, all the racing action every Sunday through the NFL season. Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. As usual on the show this morning, we will have some race recaps going back to yesterday and some a little bit of handicapping a little bit later on, some news and notes and whatnot. But the stakes action from yesterday, a lot of focus on three-year-olds, certainly down at Gulfstream, but the calendar turned Friday night into Saturday, and all the two-year-olds became three-year-olds. And so New Year's Day, we can start focusing on Derby Trail, and there were some three-year-old races on the first steps of the Derby Trail, or points races, various parts of the country. We had the Jerome in New York, the Smarty Jones down in Arkansas at Oak Lawn, and out in Southern California, the Sham, the Mucho Macho Man at Gulfstream. For the three-year-olds, we'll take a look at all of those and more. But again, the excitement kicked into action yesterday with three-year-old action and more across the country. But let's kick things off and take a look first at the Jerome. When we pick it up, I like I like Hagler, the number eight horse. So when we picked it up. On the turn, I thought, boy, he's in a great spot. And he was kind of, he pulled away a little bit and looked good. And then he kind of threw out the anchor in the stretch. So Hagler is going to be the number eight horse. He runs off the board. The favorite was Cook Creek, the number one horse at 7-5. Cook Creek, winds up running third in here. A little bit of a disappointing third. Second was Smarten Up, came in from Parks. And at 21-1 was the second longest price on the board. But at 4-1, a logical player. I had this one in the mix. Number six is going to be Cavassier getting it done under Jose Ortiz to kind of, as I say, Jerome, January 1st, kicks off the three-year-old scene in New York. Cavassier, chart margin was a length and a quarter. The buyer figure was 73. And I'm assuming we will get that sooner rather than later. The Jerome, we are waiting on the Jerome. I'm just contacting the control room. Blinkers made the difference for this one. Cavassier, goes out for Kelly Breen. First couple of starts of the year, no blinkers, ran third and then ran second. You can see here Hagler on the turn. And we're getting a weird shot because it was foggy there yesterday. So they did a good job of kind of picking up the cameras around the track that worked. But it looked like, oh, man, I felt like Hagler was in a great spot, the eight. But, again, he's going to disappoint here in the stretch and wind up running fifth. Kvassier, the number six, gets it done, though. And as I say, first couple of starts, a third and a second, no blinkers. Then Kelly Breen put on the blinkers. Three starts back at Delaware, just misses. Then at 14-1, breaks the maiden here at Aquaticona, mile and an eighth. And the horse is in good form. And Kelly Breen said, hey, I'll cut back to the mile because I want the horse to run. And that gets it done. So the blinkers seem to have made a difference for this one. Again, lifetime best buyer figure with the 73. Wasn't a buyer figure that jumped off the page, but certainly, you know, he had a track that you could see was listed as sloppy and sealed there. So that may have affected things as well. But Kvassier getting it done to kick off the, as I say, the Derby Trail in New York, and look pretty good. I mean, I don't know whether we're coming out of this thinking, oh, there's your Derby horse, but certainly it was a nice performance. Not that it's not your Derby horse. I mean, sometimes you can look and think, this, but this is one where I think, let's wait and see another one before we're really jumping on that bandwagon necessarily. Nice performance, but it wasn't like eye-popping or anything, but it was a nice way to start out the New York steps on the Derby Trail. The Arkansas, they have a great three-year-old series down there, obviously leading into the Arkansas Derby a little bit later on in the season, but they kicked it off on New Year's Day with the Smarty Jones. Nice full field in here. I took a shot with Cool Papa G on the outside, one of the outside post positions, the 12, you know, at the mile distance, going to be up against it a little bit. 6-1 on the morning line. I don't know. The betting public did not agree with me at all. Went from 6-1 on the morning line to 27-1, but the betting public was right. Cool Papa G winds up just never in the hunt here and finishes last in the field of 13. I mentioned when we talked about this race on Racing Across America yesterday, I had, you know, Cool Papa G in the mix. I had All in Sync in there, Homebrew in there. And I said one of the horses that I didn't put in my mix, but I'd look up the board, and if the odds attracted you, Dash Attack was maybe worth a look. Had broken the maiden in the career debut December 5th at Oaklawn before Kenny McPeak. And Kenny McPeak, again, you go back to Saratoga, and he had the barn in quarantine, and it was just a tough Saratoga meet for him. But then he got into the fall, got down to Churchill, and it seemed like the whole barn rebounded, particularly the two-year-olds. And so yesterday at Oaklawn in the Smarty Jones, it was Dash Attack. We lost a few points from the morning line. Morning line was 12-1. The horse went off at 7-1. Dash Attack going to be the number one horse in here. Chart margin is going to be two lengths. The buyer figure is going to be an 82. Barber Road, the number 10, runs second. I had that one down in my mix. Horse that was coming off a second-place finish in the – a close second-place finish in the Lively Shively in the prior start. So that was a logical player on that nice stakes performance at Churchill to Oaklawn move. And then Ignitus, in the number 5, in the third spot at 31-1. Wayne Lucas trainee. Who had tossed in a sixth-place finish in the Lively Shively, but bettered that yesterday, running third in there, again, at a price. But it was Dash Attack in the Smarty Jones yesterday, the number one horse for Kenny McPeak, getting it done. And here we go, Dash Attack. And again, on the Ken McPeak angle, I thought, as I said yesterday when we talked about that, nice performance here. Again, he gets a little momentum in the stretch. The chart margin, two lengths, and again, the buyer, 82. So this is one that, as compared to Kvassier, second start, second win, you know, second start moves into a stake, a nice full field, and some, you know, some runners who had shown a little bit of talent, and talent in stakes races before. So to me, between the two races we've looked at so far, Dash Attack is maybe a little more intriguing as a horse you would maybe think about on the Derby trail. But again, just on a handicapping note, it does seem to be worth taking a look at the Kenny McPeak runners along this Derby trail as we progress, because again, it seemed like as we got outside of Saratoga, particularly in that second Churchill meet, the Kenny McPeak runners, particularly, as I say, the two-year-olds, seem to be kind of stepping forward in an interesting fashion. All right, out in Southern California on the three-year-old side, it was the Sham Grade 3 event, $100,000 up for grabs, a mile a trip. It was a short field. There was only five in here. The favorite was Rockefeller, and we talked a little bit about this one yesterday because Rockefeller had won the Nashua at Belmont prior ahead of Cook Creek, and we said pay attention to that one in New York to maybe get a barometer. Well, Cook Creek was, again, a little bit disappointing running third. So Rockefeller, the number four horse here, maybe he could have made that connection and took it, taken a shot against, because it was another Baffert runner getting it done. Newgrange, as the third choice at 5-2, winds up winning there. Newgrange, now 2-2. And that was a pretty good-looking performance. I have not seen a buyer on that one. The chart margin, however, 2¾. Rockefeller gets second by a nose, and Oviet Class, a horse we talked a little bit about yesterday, winds up running third in there. But pretty much on the front end throughout, Newgrange at the mile gets it done. Again, second career start. Notable, John Velasquez on board. And we said it was an interesting move for Velasquez deciding to move his tack to Southern California this winter, because normally, like a lot of the New York jockeys, he winds up in Florida and has all the connections with the New York trainers. And I have said for years, it's tough to break into that Southern California jockey colony because, you know, limited races, limited number of opportunities. When you come in, you don't have the relationships. But it was clear that Velasquez, having built up a relationship with Bob Baffert, that was a compelling reason to go out there and take the shot this winter. And John Velasquez is off to a really nice start at the meet. But that Baffert relationship pays off yesterday in the stake. And you would think that will be the plan throughout the winter season as well out there, with those two teaming up, you would have to think, fairly frequently. But John Velasquez on board, the winner of yesterday's Sham for Bob Baffert, Newgrange. And again, that one looked pretty good too. The winner at Oaklawn and the winner out in Southern California, again, to me a little more impressive maybe than Cavassier was in New York. But as I say, I'm not writing off Cavassier. That these two, I think, you can kind of, if you were jumping on their bandwagon, I wouldn't talk you off of it. Cavassier, I'm thinking, let me see one more, perhaps. Just also wanted to mention, there was a number of stakes out in Southern California yesterday, but wanted to mention the Joe Hernandez on the turf at six furlongs, six and a half furlongs, actually. And I'm bringing this one up because I didn't call for a replay on this, but it's Chewing Gum getting it done. And I wanted to mention it because Chewing Gum is a Bill Mott runner that we saw in New York quite a bit. Six starts this year and hadn't gotten a win, but they shipped the horse out to Southern California to take a shot at the grade two, and they got it done by a nose over Beer Can Man, who is a Southern California-based horse. And ran second by a nose. Delaware, also a horse we've seen a lot in New York. That one was out there also, but wound up fourth. But at $13.40 for Chewing Gum, a horse, a turf horse I've liked a lot, it seems like. And I look at the 0-6 record coming in, and I'm thinking, I had him in my mix. And if you had him in the mix, you were okay. was second or third four of those six times this year, but no wins until yesterday in the Hernandez. So as I say, nice move shipping out to pick up the grade two there for the New York-based turfer. And of course, no turf action in New York currently, so a smart move out to Southern California to try the turf and win on the turf. All right, let's move on to some of the action down at Gulfstream yesterday. Again, they had a number of stakes. They were all on the three-year-old side of things, different sexes, the fillies and the boys, and different distances, different surfaces as well. But we'll start things out taking a look at the cash run. That was a mile for the three-year-old fillies, $100,000 up for grabs. I had Kathleen O on top for Shug McGahey. Big closing effort in the debut on a muddy track up at Aqueduct to get it done. So this is the follow-up, start number two. Kathleen O is the number two horse, as you can see here, making a nice little momentum move, getting it going. Chart margin, 8.5 lengths. This is a pretty nice performance. Shug may have a nice little three-year-old filly. Now, what will be the limitations? Well, the debut effort was 7 furlongs and was a nice closing win. Just got that one by a head yesterday. Steps into stakes company. The one-turn mile gets it done by 8.5. And you would have to think, the sky may be the limit for this one. As I say, Shug may have a nice little three-year-old filly on his hands going forward. She certainly looked nice yesterday under Javier Castellano. So Kathleen O wins the cash run. The Ginger Brew for three-year-old fillies going a mile on the turf. I liked Opalina in here. She will wind up the number five horse third as the even money favorite. A little love and luck. I had that one down at the bottom of my mix. It's my man Mike Deaney, who I always like to take a close look at when he's over at Tampa. But you have to pay attention when he decides to ship to Gulfstream as well. Number three is a little love and luck. Kind of gets straightened out, gets the momentum going, and wears down number four, Ocean Safari. 7-1, you got $17 and change if you believed in Mike Deaney. Not only trainer Mike Deaney, but owner Mike Deaney. So a great job there. Had broken the maiden on a ship over from Tampa in the previous start on the synthetic going against statebreds. So the odds were probably warranted in there. Was stepping up a little bit, moving over to the turf from a decent try on the synthetic, stepping out of the state bred company into an open stake. But Mike Deaney picking his spots, and he was over. So I'm in the winner's circle, so he's normally based over Tampa, but he was over to take a look at his winner in the Ginger Brew. Nice finish there. As I say, Opalina, the horse I liked and the even money favorite, winds up a little bit of a disappointing third in that bunch, but a nice win for Mike Deaney, a horse that it seems like just one of those that kind of took a few starts maybe to figure it out. First two starts, debuted up here at Saratoga back in August, wound up sixth that day, then went down to Belmont, ran seventh, tried Parks. First two starts were on the turf at Saratoga and Belmont. Went down to Parks and tried the dirt and ran third, and then had that win to break the maiden in career start number four on the synthetic at Gulfstream. So it looked like Mike Deaney originally thought, man, I got a turfer, and then after the first two starts was maybe a little bit unsure of that path, and so kind of popped around. But again, it may just have been one of those that, hey, let me get a few starts to kind of figure this game out. And she looked good yesterday. Again, when she kind of got the momentum going and got straightened out and had a path, she took off and won pretty nicely in there to wear down the front runner in the stretch, Ocean Safari. So a little love and luck under Paco Lopez getting it done in the Ginger Brew. The Limehouse yesterday was for the three-year-old sprinting boys going 6 furlongs. I had Of a Revolution on top over Lightning Larry. And as they come down the lane, it's going to be those two. Lightning Larry is the number 5 horse. Of a Revolution is the number 3 horse. the chart margin will wind up to be a half a length, but I don't know if you had Lightning Larry whether you were ever really sweating this out. You can see, you never really feel like the momentum is going to carry over Revolution by. So it is Lightning Larry getting it done. That was career start number 7 and career number 6 on the exacta finishes. Now, 3 wins, 3 seconds, and 7 starts for Lightning Larry. Already had some stakes experience under the belt. So nice little talented runner there potentially going forward. Again, I haven't seen the buyers on these Gulfstream races, so I'm not quite sure what to make of it and what potential we have coming out of this. But you also, 6 furlongs, who amongst these will stretch out? Who will stick to sprinting? Of a Revolution for Safi Joseph, 2nd. And as I say, made up a little ground in the lane, but you never really thought going to get by. But came into the race 2 for 2. Now, two wins and a second place finish in 3 starts, including that stakes 2nd yesterday. Of a Revolution with only the 3 starts under the belt, there might be some upside potential still for that one. So, but again, what's the future? Sprinting, going longer. It's that time of year where the next 3 months will make decisions for some of these horses. Be interesting to see where some of them decide to go moving forward. When you're talking, the 3-year-old sprinters, because the siren call of the Derby is out there, and you may have a horse that's just bred and clearly is a sprinter, but you get a couple of nice performances under the belt, and everybody has to try the 2 turns or stretch them out a little bit, get at least a mile under them and see what you can do. And I'm sure that will be the case for some of these horses. And then they either pass the test or fail, and the rest of the season is kind of decided. But at this point, we're still looking at what are, at this point, sprinters with potential ahead, and we'll find out what that potential is. In the Dania Beach, I mentioned it, that subdivision I like. I mentioned it yesterday, kicked off yesterday in the Dania Beach. The 3-year-olds on the turf, plenty of opportunities, plenty of stakes races across the country for the 3-year-olds on the turf, and that includes the Dania Beach. I had number 5 Chanceau on top, and I thought, man, I thought I had this one done. But Grand Sonata, Chanceau, a Pletcher runner. Grand Sonata, the number 8, a Pletcher runner. I thought I had it. I just didn't think Grand Sonata had enough momentum, but oof, I was wrong. I got nipped right at the wire by the other Pletcher. I had Chanceau on top, and I have Grand Sonata in an underneath spot. So it was no shock. A betting public landed on Grand Sonata, and they were rewarded with a head victory. As I said, there was kind of no point before the last 2 strides where I thought I was going to get beaten in there. But Chanceau winds up 2nd. Again, it's a head victory. Grand Sonata goes off as the 6-5 favorite. Tyler Gaffleone riding. Luis Saez was on board Chanceau. You had a Todd Pletcher exacta in there. And you wound up with $15, just under $16. So, you played a little Todd Pletcher. Both very logical in there. And you got rewarded, a couple of potent jockeys on board the horses, and obviously Todd Pletcher trainees. As I say, you got rewarded with a decent little exacta for very logicals for a trainer. You want to be on board down there at Gulfstream. And finally, 3-year-old boys, and this is, this is the matchup to the Sham and the Smarty Jones and the Jerome. These are the horses that clearly at this point are already pointing to bigger and better things on the 3-year-old scene for this year. In the Mucho Macho Man at Gulfstream yesterday, I liked Strike Hard. I thought coming off of the nice win and the optional claimer last time, proven at the distance, Strike Hard would be interesting. Strike Hard is the number 2. And Junior Alvarado just didn't have anywhere to go. And then when things opened up, you can see Strike Hard kind of makes up ground. But by then, Simplification was just off to the races. It was too late for Strike Hard. So Simplification goes out for Antonio Sano. I had that one down in my mix a little bit. I had it in the 3rd spot. Graphic Detail in the 2nd spot for me. Strike Hard went off at 4-5. Graphic Detail for Bill Mott went off at 5-2. Graphic Detail wound up in that scrum just behind the first two and winds up a neck back in fourth. But Simplification, as I say, I had that one down in the third spot. And I said yesterday, one of those horses was hard to know what to do with, because the career debut on synthetic back in October was, it was an okay effort. It was a ho-hum effort, let's put it that way. Nothing special. The follow-up moves from the synthetic to the dirt, goes against state-bred maidens, and is the 9-5 favorite, wins off by double-digit lengths with a 92 buyer. And you think, well, clearly appreciated the education in the first start and the move to the dirt. Could be a special horse throwing a 92 buyer in October. And then followed it up with the buyer going backwards just about 40 points. And as the 30 cent to a dollar favorite on November 13th, winds up a well-beaten third. So you're kind of, what do I do with Simplification? Given that good race two back, do we get back to that? And so I had the horse down in the mix, but I wasn't quite sure what to make of it. Well, under Javier Castellano yesterday, you saw a chart margin, four lengths, nice victory there. Betting public also was right about where I was, putting this one at 4-1. You got $10 and change on Simplification in there. We'll see what that one does going forward. And now I kind of want to see another one. To see if we can validate what we've seen. And I'm curious, again, I haven't seen the buyer figures for the Gulfstream races, but I'm curious to see what Simplification did manage to get yesterday and if it was floating up near that 92. I'm not thinking probably not, but even if you got a nice one in the mid-80s, it would be notable. But Simplification gets it done for Antonio Sano and, again, Javier Castellano. And he may be interesting going forward. Again, I think of the four, you know, the Jerome, the Smarty Jones, the Mucho Macho Man, and the Sham, I think the Kenny McPeak runner was the one that maybe was more intriguing to me amongst the four, Dash Attack. So we'll see how that works out going forward. It is very early. The first steps, day one, January 1st, first steps on the Derby trail, so things will shake out. But a number of these horses wound up with Derby points, and not enough points to secure anything at this stage, but they have taken their steps along the Derby trail. All right, that gives you some of the ideas on stakes action from yesterday. We'll take a little break when we come back. A little handicapping for Sunday afternoon. I'll be back in later today with OTB Live to do live looks, but we'll give you a little preview of some of the action this afternoon, and maybe wet your whistle for the action coming up a little bit later on. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on a Sunday morning. Day two of 2022. Hopefully your new year is cooking along in fine fashion, and we'll see if we can make it finer fashion by giving out some ideas for this afternoon. I'll take a look at the late pick five at Oaklawn, and I will note my confidence level at Oaklawn the past few days, not what it normally is. I love Oaklawn. I think you can find a lot of value there. It's just the weather has been a little crazy down there. So, you know, again, you have to keep that in mind. And I would have shifted and looked at New York, but the weather has been a little dicey there as well. Unseasonably warm. But again, yesterday it was foggy and the track was off. And so between the two, I probably have a little more confidence in Oaklawn this weekend. But as I say, and I checked also, the scratches aren't up yet. So keep that in mind as well. Things may change up as we get closer to actual post time in about 3 hours now at Oaklawn. But we'll take a look at that late pick five, hopefully give you some decent ideas. Fifth race at Oaklawn today kicks up their late pick five. Conditional claimers going 3/4 of a mile at Oaklawn in the fifth. I went 12-2, 8-11. I put Major Attraction on top. Comes off the claim here at Oaklawn and moves into the barn of Robertina Diodoro for M&N Racing, one of his main clients. Said it before, say it again, we'll say it all meet long. The claim box down there at Oaklawn is just on fire. And so you have very clever claiming trainers down there. And Robertina Diodoro may be at the top of the class. Comes off a decent second place finish in the 10 claiming, at the 10 claiming level for a B condition. This is a 16 N3L. But again, I think if you look at this horse overall, what the horse did last time, the buyers this horse typically fires as compared to this bunch, I think the horse is a cozy fit. And then you get the bonus of moving into the Diodoro barn, first off the claim angle there. So we'll have to overcome the outside post position, but we'll tilt towards Major Attraction. Pop's Biscuit goes out for Steve Asmussen on a class drop on the move from Remington. So again, you're hanging your hat a little bit on a trainer situation, and goes out for not only trainer Steve Asmussen, but owner Steve Asmussen, and comes off pretty good last few starts at Remington. Last four starts, a couple of wins leading into a second, leading into a third last time. But as I say, they were against a little bit better price-wise, so makes the venue move and drops down the claiming ladder a little bit. Pop's Biscuit is going to be dangerous and flat-out winner. Tried this company last time and ran fifth. That was over a muddy sealed track. And again, if you're thinking that this one is not an off-track runner, check the conditions this afternoon and adjust accordingly. But has run okay before on wet tracks. But more notable to me, last time out was going a mile. Cuts back to the 6 furlongs today. There are back numbers underneath that I think are comparable and actually pretty good compared to this bunch. So I think you may get a price off of that last race, but on the cutback, flat-out winner could be intriguing this afternoon. Fifth race at Oaklawn, 12, 2, 8, and 11. Race number 6 at Oaklawn. If you have whiff on race 5, you can reload for the late pick 4 at Oaklawn. That kicks off in race number 6. Starter allowance at the 10,000 level, 3/4 of a mile is the trip. In the Oaklawn 6th, I went 4, 3, 5, and 8. Beverly Park on top. Lots of early speed. Used that speed to his advantage last time on the move from Churchill to Oaklawn and had a nice nose victory. This horse, man, if you're a horse owner, this is the kind you want in your barn. 10 starts this year, 9 wins. The only loss was 2 starts back at Churchill, lost by a neck. It was on a sloppy sealed track, but the race just before that was on a sloppy track at Churchill and won. So I'm not, regardless of the track situation today, this horse is bona fide as a win machine and going to be another cozy fit in here. Be interested to see what the odds are, because I don't think the horse, I like the horse, has this crazy win streak this year, or crazy win number this year. But I don't think the horse is an absolute standout. 9-5 on the morning line, But I'll be interested to see what we get at post time. I'm not saying the horse is going to float up and offer value. I'm just interested to see how hard the betting public pounds this one, because I think there are interesting alternatives in here. Jack Van Berg goes off the claim for Robertina Diodoro off a win up at Churchill recently. This one's numbers compared to Beverly Park are a little light, except that last number I think matches up pretty well. Probably has to move forward, though, a little bit from the overall consistent numbers. But I think moving into the Diodoro barn, that may not be out of the question. Hidden Ruler came from Prairie Meadows to Oaklawn last time and ran third behind the top pick. The buyer regressed a little bit, though. Normally, this horse fires better numbers. And the betting public kind of jumped on this one last time against the big winner, Beverly Park, who went off at 30 cents to the dollar last time. This one went off at 2-1, though. So off of that third place finish, I'm going to look at this horse as having gotten another little seasonal experience at the track and maybe benefits and moves forward from that. Now, that race was only, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago, so now strings a couple fairly close together. One for Richie, I don't want to leave that one out of the conversation. I have it down in the fourth spot. Hasn't been seen since June at Churchill, but is a little bit of a horse for a course. Five wins and 9 starts here at Oaklawn. So, as I say, one for Richie. Off the layoff, I was maybe a little bit reluctant to pull the trigger, but it's hard to ignore that one, especially if you're playing picks. In the sixth at Oaklawn, 4, 3, 5, and 8. Race number 7 at Oaklawn on Sunday afternoon. These are 3-year-old maiden specials. And again, we will see a lot of these at the various tracks around the country over the next couple of months, because all of the 2-year-olds from Friday became 3-year-olds yesterday. And so that this will be the game plan for the maiden special races, as I say, for the next couple of months, restricted to the 3-year-olds. I have this one at Oaklawn, 6, 2, 9, and 7. I thought the 8 was a little bit intriguing as well. This is kind of a fun race, intriguing handicapping puzzle. Steve Asmussen has Sky and Sand, the number 6 horse. First couple of starts, the debut up at Belmont was okay. Showed some speed before fading and running third, but ran third to Zandon. A nice horse that we saw in the Remsen, I think, behind Mo Donegal. And I think that's going to be a good one. So no harm there. And then followed it up at Aqueduct running second. The buyer number went backwards a little bit. But I think with those two under the belt, the move down to Oaklawn gets a little venue class move, adds some Lasix this afternoon. I think this one may be primed for a better effort, maybe a winning effort this afternoon. Mimzuj goes out for Danny Pites. A couple of starts at Keeneland and Churchill, and then made the move from Kentucky down to Oaklawn and just missed on that move with a much improved buyer number. So with the race, the Oaklawn race under the belt, I think you have to pay attention to that one. Frisco Line by Run Happy, trained by Brad Cox, steady string of workouts. A couple of them look pretty good. But again, Run Happy has this year has become, well, last year now, has become a little more proficient with his early runners. So, a couple of years ago, maybe not so much, but this one, particularly coming from Brad Cox. Sinner's Sin by Practical Joke from Ron Moquette. I thought that one was playable as well. And as I said, Vintage Vinyl, the 8 horse by McLean's Music. They paid $450,000 for this horse. The Tommy Amos runner ran, an okay third and debut and an off-the-turfer down at the fairgrounds. Just interesting scenario. Now with that one under the belt, they decide to, let's go up to Oaklawn and take a pop for, and Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come. I've said this the past year or so with some of these tracks. If you offer the purse, they will come. Vintage Vinyl debuted down at Fairgrounds in a maiden special for $40,000. Comes up and tries the maiden special at Oaklawn for $84,000. So I just think Tommy Amos is maybe looking in the condition book and saying, we have a live runner. Why not go for double the money? So, again, vintage vinyl playable as well. I have it 6-2-9 and 7. The 8's intriguing. It's, as I say, it's a fun race. It may be the puzzle amongst the pick five sequence. 8th race at Oaklawn on Sunday afternoon. Optional claimer with a calendar condition, 6 furlongs the trip. I have this 8th at Oaklawn, 8-10-1-9. I will put Silver Moon Road on top. Comes in from Southern California, and it seems, I said this yesterday about a couple of horses at Oaklawn, it's just anecdotal. I haven't actually gone back and, you know, parsed up all the stats and whatnot, but it seems like so far at the meet, the Southern California shippers have been very interesting. And this one comes in from a race most recently, November 5th at Del Mar. You look at the record, 7 starts and is in the hunt far more often than not. 7 starts, 3 wins, 2 seconds, and a third. So talented, claimed last time, limited number of starters off the claim for this trainer, but seems to do very well with the angle. I'll put this one on top and hope that 12-1 morning line holds up. Second slot, we'll take a look at Full Impact. Goes out for Brad Cox. Moves into the barn of Brad Cox after having started the career in the Kelly Breen barn. But has not been seen in a long time, well over a year. Ran in October of 2020 and November of 2020. So as I say, been on the sidelines for well over a year. But the first 2 starts were 2 wins. With 2 solid buyers, and Brad Cox can have them ready. Now, that said, the workouts don't necessarily jump off the page, but I would expect this runner for Gary and Mary West and Brad Cox to be live in here. And probably, just looking, the morning line 3-1 is as the favorite. I would expect the horse will take some real action. I mean, it's a big field, so it's hard to predict how much and how short the horse will go. But I think with that scenario, we will get a shortish price. I'm looking at second choice on the morning line is Whiskey Double for Steve Asmussen. I didn't use that one in my mix. Another one coming off a layoff, but there is a little back class there, so I wouldn't talk anybody off that one. But for me in the third spot, Heart Rhythm. A couple of starts most recently at Churchill, a couple of thirds, but the buyer last time and a few of the buyers underneath are pretty solid compared to this bunch. And I thought, again, another price that may be a little bit interesting. So perhaps adding some value to the picks, at least a couple in here in my mix in the 8th. I have an 8, 10, 1, and 9. And finally, we wrap up the late pick 5 action at Oaklawn on Sunday afternoon in the 9th and final. It'll go off at about 5:15 our time. Maiden Special 3-year-olds and up. This isn't Maiden Special 3-year-olds and up. I said earlier that I thought we would be restricted most places to the 3-year-olds in the Maiden Specials for the next couple of months, but I take that back as Oaklawn says, okay, newly turned 3-year-olds, you will have to face older in here, and I'm looking. And in fact, somebody stepped up to the challenge. The one horse, a newly turned 3-year-old, steps in against older. 10 gauge for Steve Asmussen. I have that one down in the third spot for me in this 9th at Oaklawn. 9-2-1-4. Fan Club on top. Again, Gary and Mary West and Brad Cox. Horse that had moved out of the Kelly Breen barn. But Brad has had this one as opposed to the one in the previous race. Has had this one for a couple of starts. 2 improving buyers, but the finishing positions, a 7th and a 3rd, they don't jump off the page necessarily, but I thought, as compared to this bunch, I think they're okay. And I think, given what we saw last time down at the fairgrounds, this horse may be a cozy fit in with this group. Constitutional Law in the 2nd spot. Tried 1.25, 2 starts back at Churchill. Showed a little speed before fading. I don't think speed is the name of the game, though. You know, 1.25, you can kind of lope along. This one typically is kind of close up, but not on the lead by any means. Gets the 5-pound apprentice today and stretches out after having gotten a little experience here at Oaklawn last time. 10 gauge, again, the lone 3-year-old in the field. That, to me, in and of itself, intriguing for Steve Asmussen. Comes down from Churchill off a near-miss finish last time. Centurion, I think, is also very playable, coming in off a claim at Churchill in the latest for Marshall Graham and 10 Strike Racing in the ninth and final at Oaklawn. 9-2-1-4. So there are some ideas. Again, still have to wait for scratches and changes, but there are some ideas to maybe give you some food for thought if you want to formulate a late pick five ticket for Oaklawn for this afternoon. All right, we will. Speaking of late pick fives, and I don't know that I'm going to be able to pull it up quickly, but I got an email from the marketing department yesterday. If you played our, there it is. If you played our bounty bet on Friday, you wound up with a decent little payout. The bounty bet on Friday was a mandatory pay because it was the last day of the year. And our bounty bet, if you're not familiar, we do it probably a couple times a month. And it, the bounty, the pool can build up. And we were over $2,000 on Friday. And the bounty bet is just amongst people playing on Capital OTB Bet. And it's typically, well, the last number of times we've done it's been a late pick five down at Aqueduct. And Friday it was the same. It was the late pick five at Aqueduct on Friday. But with a mandatory pay, normally the whole pool would go if one person had it. And again, it's just people playing via Capital OTB Bet. So normally the whole pool goes if one person gets it, the little consolation payout if a number of people hit it. But with the mandatory, it didn't matter who, how many people hit, that whole pool was going to go. And sure enough, on Friday, if you jumped in and took your shot at Aqueduct on the late pick five, we had six winners, which means everybody got not just the payout on the pick five down at Aqueduct, but you got from Capital OTB a bonus $365 each. So it was a nice little bonus for the folks. If you jumped in and took your shot and hit the late pick five on Friday down at Aqueduct, good for you, because again, nice little bonus. Good way to end the old year and head in to the new year. Always keep in mind the promotions and events here at OTB, and you can keep up with all of them. We try to alert you here on television every week what's coming up and whatnot, but you can also go to capitalotb.com, click on the promotions link at the top of the page, and there's a monthly calendar that tells you what's coming up. So you can have the chance for some free money as well. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, some news and notes to wrap up the day. Stay tuned. Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bernstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bernstone. Bernstone surges past. Bernstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on OTB TV on a Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. Things wound up December 31st on Friday. That means all the year-end totals are in. We mentioned yesterday, I think I have it. Yeah, the NYRA totals, year-end winners. You know, this is not individual meets. This is January 1st to December 31st. The year-end totals down at the NYRA tracks down at and up at Saratoga, Aqueduct, Belmont, and Saratoga throughout the year. Chad Brown won his seventh consecutive NYRA title. He had 140 victories. Jose Ortiz, the leading jockey in New York in 2021, 185 victories. And Klarovich, the leading owner with 55 wins. So congratulations to all of them on the New York side of things. But nationally, I pulled up the Equibase stats for jocks and trainers, both money won and races won. And on the money won side, Joel Rosario, the leading jockey on the money won side. On the races won side, it was Irod Ortiz. Joel Rosario, money won, $32 million, just under $33 million, actually. And Irod Ortiz on the money won list was second. And on that money list, third, Luis Saez, brother Jose Ortiz, wound up fourth. Flavian Prat, fifth. John Velasquez, with a great year, winds up eighth on the money won list. Ricardo Santana, ninth. Tyler Gaffleon, sixth. Florent Charles, seventh. And Manny Franco, tenth. So notable names on the top 10 on the money list, but it was Joel Rosario, who unfortunately had to go to the sidelines towards the end of the year. He would have added to that total. Still, it seems like potential eclipse year for Joel Rosario. Just really put together a fabulous 2021, as did Irod Ortiz. Again, they were 1-2 on the money list with Joel Rosario on top. But on the races won, it was Irod Ortiz. He won 336. Paco Lopez, second, 323. Luis Saez, third, 293. Tyler Gaffleon, fourth. Juan Diaz, fifth in there. That's on the races won list. So, again, it was a nice year as well. For eclipse consideration, you would have to assume also for Irod Ortiz with the leaderboard number two, money won, number one, races won for Irod Ortiz. But again, nice year for Joel Rosario overall also. So again, there were your jockey names on money won and races won. Over on the trainer side of things, on the money won list, they were both chasing a Chad Brown seasonal record, and they both went by. Brad Cox, though, winds up on top for the season with $31.8 million. Steve Asmussen second, $31.2 million. And Chad Brown third, $22 million. Todd Pletcher fourth, Mike Maker fifth on the money won list. But over on the races won list, oof, a clear win for Steve Asmussen. He winds up with 453 winners for the year. Carl Broberg second with 401. Jamie Ness third. Brad Cox fourth on the money one. Jonathan Wong fifth. Mark Cassie was top 10 for both races won and money won. But again, it was Brad Cox topping the money one list. Steve Asmussen second. Steve Asmussen clearly ahead on the races won list for trainers in 2021. Yesterday I mentioned, unfortunately, there was unfortunate news on Friday. Billy Turner passed away at 81 years old. Train Seattle slew to the Triple Crown victory, an eclipse season as a two-year-old as well. I think, you know, youngish viewers certainly, you know, that was the 1977 Triple Crown. To me, it's fresh in my memory, but to a lot of, as I say, not even younger necessarily, but youngish, newer fans to the sport. Certainly you've heard of Seattle Slew and the Triple Crown and whatnot. You might not be familiar with Billy Turner, though. And so I went to YouTube, and sure enough, there was a kind of an interview that NYRA did back in 2009. And so I thought we would show that. It's just about 4 minutes long. It's fairly quick. But just give you a little idea of Billy Turner and his career and whatnot. Again, the trainer of 1977 Triple Crown winner Seattle Slew, and he passed away on Friday. But I thought, again, we'll fire up this interview from 2009 trainer Billy Turner.
As a whole, as a group, the horses that we're breeding today can't take as much training as the ones in their years ago, and so we have to change our training methods as accordingly.
He went on and had Frank come up to the barn and look at the horses, and Frank just looked over the webbing, and he'd look for about 30 seconds, and he'd say. And he'd say, well, that's a $5,000, or that's a $10,000 horse. I've got three of those. That's a $15,000 horse. I've got two of those. He was looking for something that would fit in his barn that he didn't have, you know, that type of thing. And now, I just listened. He didn't run his hand down a leg. He just looked at the individual. And by golly, you know, the son of a gun was right. And you know, that's what I call a horseman. There's no such thing as a day off in racing. Are you kidding? They just retired Damascus, and he was did Belmont in the fall. And he was leading him around in the afternoon outside in the grassy area over there near his barn. I was leaning on the fence talking to him, and he just volunteered. He said. Said, what do you do after this? Because here Damascus had just beat Buck Passer and Dr. Figure, and you know, and just, it was just horse of the year and all that kind of stuff. And I just didn't say a word. I just looked up and looked down. And here, just a couple years later, here comes Ruffian. So there's no end to it. Well, he's dealt with so many different situations, and he just has an endless wealth of knowledge. And you can say, well, you have to do things this way or that way because of the way the track is and so forth. And he'll tell you a story about, well, this is where we had a track that was like this, and this is the way we did it, and this is what happened, you know, and it's exactly the opposite of what you were just talking about. So, but only he can do that, you know. It's really, at the time, it was a job. When in the position I was in with a horse with that kind of ability, there was nothing that I could do. The horse had the ability. He would do it. The only thing, I couldn't do anything right. I could only make a mistake. And that's where I was. And so I put myself in a position of really having to perform absolute perfection. And that's tough. And a perfectionist at times winds up being a very, very lonely person. And you're going against a lot of other people's ideas at times, but you're going to do it your way, and that's that. And you won't be popular doing it that way, but if you can pull it off, they'll love you. You make a mistake and they'll bury you. Talk about what he did, like to tell stories and speak the truth a little awkward every now and again. Things like that. But I don't know, that's a tough question to answer.
And of course, again, condolences to Billy Turner's family and friends. Passed away on Friday, the trainer through the Triple Crown of Seattle Slough. All right, I'm going to wrap things up for this Sunday edition of Racing Across America. I mentioned earlier the calendar. You can pull it up on the website. I pulled up the promotions calendar. I'll just alert you coming up this week. Next few Mondays, Fairgrounds is going to run, so keep that in mind. And each of those Mondays this month, there'll be a Fairgrounds track bonus available. Check the website for rules and restrictions there, but on Mondays, a little bit of a bonus perhaps for you if you're playing Fairgrounds. As, again, you can check for more information at CapitalOTB.com. Also coming up on Friday this week, there's a $100 pick three bankroll. Keep that in mind. I'll alert you as I come back in later this week, but you'll check out the website and toss your name in the hat a little bit later in the week to potentially get on the Friday pick three bankroll team. Our pick three bankroll last week, we got off to I had a couple of plays. I had a play over at Aqueduct and a play over at Gulfstream, and I'm trying to think. The Aqueduct got off to a good start and then just couldn't seal the deal. But we'll see what we can do this week, this Friday, for the bankroll team. The game plan is always to take the bankroll and hit it out of the park so everybody walks away with some nice free money. And that will, of course, be the game plan again on Friday. As I say, we'll alert you later in the week as well to go to the website, put your name in the hat, so you can potentially get on the bankroll team for some free Capital OTB money. All right, we'll wrap it up for this Sunday. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. Thanks also to our friends at Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB during their championship meet. We certainly appreciate the support of Gulfstream Park. I'll be back in probably a little over an hour or so. Post times, 12:20 today, Aqueduct, 12:30 Gulfstream, 1:30 Oaklawn. I'll be looking at those tracks. We'll have other tracks in our mix as well. Should be another fun afternoon. So far the week's been a lot of fun. There's been some stakes races on the weekdays. Going back to Wednesday, we had a couple of two-year-old stakes at Parks, but New Year's Eve there was some stakes action at the venues, and of course, great stakes yesterday as well. So it's been a fun week so far. Hopefully it's been a lucrative week. We'll try to keep all of that going this afternoon when we will be back for OTB Live. Again, in about an hour and a half or so, we will check in to take a live look at racing all afternoon long. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.